Welcome to another episode of the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
I'm Robert Trawick.
This podcast is sponsored by Rode Microphones, the Australian pro audio powerhouse making incredible gear for podcasters, vloggers, filmmakers, musicians, and audio engineers.
It's marketing month, and we're back again
in February.
February, that's right. This is February 16th, 2020. Hello. Right.
If I sit there and stare at him long enough, it makes him nervous.
It does. So, because it's like, what am I supposed to say next?
No, you're not supposed to say anything. That was perfect. I love that.
Okay.
So we're on location. We have a special guest.
Yeah, we packed it up.
But before we do that, because this special guest is unusual.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Just based on the topics we're going to talk about, it's going to be a fun podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
All I have to say is you guys need to buckle up and get ready. It's marketing, but we're talking about alien marketing.
The alien marketing.
Yeah, there you go. Did you get a refill?
No, I didn't get a refill. I'm drinking slow.
I'd suck mine down.
Yours is gone.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah. It's so good. And I have a Modelo next to me here.
Not for long.
No. Not for long.
I'm really not a drinker, but this is good stuff.
Yeah, I love Modelo.
Well, the whiskey was good. I'm still working on this one.
Okay, good.
So anyway, we've got Matt Miller here with us today.
Howdy.
Yeah, and so, you know, we were just saying before we started recording, I don't know the guy, you know? Haven't heard of him.
Wow, that's a good way to start the podcast. Yeah. Just go ahead and pause it. Let's restart this.
And he hasn't heard of us.
Well, I mean, I've heard a little bit.
Oh, he's going to be so kind.
When you guys invited me, I was like, okay, who are these? Oh, they have a lot of stuff. So I was like, cool.
Probably safe. They're not mass murderers. I can have them in my house.
I hope so.
I can serve them, you know, I can serve them something. All right, so let's jump into Matt. So how did you get started in photography? Everybody's going to ask you that question.
No,
so
we don't want to go there.
You don't want to go there?
No.
Should we ask him a Bazinga question first?
We haven't had a Bazinga question on here in
forever. The only reason I'm saying is we have an onlooker in the back.
She's a peanut gallery.
Oh, I was talking about Roger the puppy.
Oh, the puppy.
But
oh.
That's okay. We like her too. Okay, so the Bazinga question, if you've ever watched Big Bang Theory, you know, he'd always run around and go, oh, Bazinga. So the Bazinga has nothing to do with photography. However, if we were going to ask you, when you get up in the morning time, oh, you're trying to find something to play with?
Yeah. Go, Robert.
Okay. So if, when you get up in the morning time, so are you boxer, briefs, or just commando?
I'm definitely a boxer kind of guy.
All right. And are you going to confirm that? No comment from the peanut gallery. Yes, Roger just mentioned he just came out with a pair of boxers, so we have to believe Matt that he's a boxer guy. I think that was pretty
good.
Where's
my crickets at? Okay.
Oh, that was horrible. Horrible, horrible.
Oh, man.
Okay, so marketing for February. Matt?
Marketing. Wow. Okay, so my experience in marketing, I think the best thing, if you're talking about social media marketing.
Anything kind of marketing.
I personally don't market myself except through social media, and the only way I do it through social media is just through engagement. So I kind of try to engage with my constituents and some of my audience a little bit. I've kind of fallen off of it lately, but when I first started out with social media, I would mostly try to engage with my audience and my constituents. And
when you say engage, you're talking about like responding to their comments?
Well, or responding to comments or commenting on their things or liking their things or just causing interaction through social media gives interest. And so people are like, oh, well, he's being very, you know, whatever, and engaging with me, so they'll engage back usually, and that's what you want because it'll draw an audience that way. And that's what I found successful through social media marketing, at least. Now, traditional marketing ways, obviously, there's only a certain audience who gets that, and that's the core audience, you know, of everybody. But I mostly work outside of that personally with what I do. That's probably why you've never heard of me.
Yeah.
Well, we're on social media.
Yeah.
We're just old guys.
But what about like networking with other photographers or getting into that stuff?
Yeah. Networking firsthand is the best. Word of mouth, honestly, is the absolute best, in my opinion.
Recommendations,
yes,
basically.
Recommendations. Yeah. That's how I've gotten every job, basically.
But I mean.
You're mean?
But I mean, what? how we don't know you is do you do those things? Do you go out and network with other photographers?
Yeah, but you know, let's bring that up.
So I'm taking like conferences or
we like to network with other photographers, but honestly, no photographers ever. Well, that's not true. I did have a photographer hire me once or twice, but normally photographers are not our clients.
True. True. Right. I do have a group of friends who are photographers. That is their main living, and then some of them moved into video. Some of them are just now moving into video, you know. But I do have a core group of friends that I've met just because they were shooters, and I would meet them. And you know, there's a good opportunity to meet more coming up at PhotoCon that Bedford Photo is putting on.
Dude, you just slid that in there.
Slid that
was
right
awesome,
in.
Like on an ice cube across a brass floor. Just
no, man. Boom.
Yeah, so Matt Miller is going to teach a class at PhotoCon.
What are you teaching at PhotoCon?
I'm basically social teaching media. Like social media marketing and how not to do it. No, I'm teaching like what is it? The like art, like more artistic side to like art direction and art creativity through your process, maybe.
That sounds very deep.
Yeah, it's gonna be different.
I think. A deep kind of guy, only because you're wearing a jacket in your house.
Yeah. She asked me earlier while I was putting on a jacket. I was like, cold.
It's cold. It wouldn't look studly for the video.
That's right.
That we're do not. You have central heat and air in your house?
We do.
Yeah, but notice
cool little house though.
Yeah,
cool,
but notice cool. How he's wearing socks and a jacket, and she's over here like in like sweats and barefoot. She does have cute toes. That's always a good thing. That's a plus.
And he also has a turntable over here.
I do.
And a microphone.
I do.
Two turntables.
Yeah. What are you gonna talk about that?
I just think it's cool to have a turntable these days.
Thank you.
We're talking vinyl, young kids. We're talking about vinyl records.
No, they know what that is. They're all retro. I'm sorry, okay? I had vinyl. I think it was awesome. It does not sound better than digital. It just doesn't.
Well, you got that old school hiss and crackle that, you know.
Yeah, I can put that in my CDs if I need to electronically.
That's true. It's very true. I put it in a video just recently.
Yes.
Just to make it feel more vintage.
Cool. I just think that people are trying to find that retro, trying to find the connection because old people like me have said, hey, you guys don't know anything. You got to listen to an old LP, you know.
Yeah.
But LPs, like both my daughters asked for, you know, record players for Christmas. And I'm like, why do you want a record player? You got an iPod that holds 20,000 songs. Why do you want to go spend $14 on a piece of vinyl that you leave in the car? It's going
to
warp.
Mm-hmm. Shit. No, they're like $30 now, $25 to $30.
Oh, shit. We're in the wrong business. Wow.
Well, this record collection actually came from my grandfather. So
half of it
came from him, and so that was his.
But I can't rag you then, because that's like
that's inheritance.
That's inheritance.
Yeah, sweet. It's like that's treasure for me.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so back to your class. You're going to talk about creativity and the artsy side of photography.
Yeah, the artsy side and kind of my process and how I attack a project or a creative issue or I don't know creative. What I'm trying to think of right now, but
the process of creating, I like that.
Kind of, it's in that realm. It's like on that path, but with more to it. So, like talking about what your story is. You've got a story, but you can also have a subplot or an overlaying narrative. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of filmmakers do that. Like,
you're a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Because you're talking filmmaker language, so my eyes might start glossing over a little bit.
Okay. So your talk is going to be talking to videographers.
Well, photographers and videographers, because I do have a lot of interesting things that I've done, you know, in my photography side of things, and I usually push those creative boundaries of like, wait, what is he trying to state here? Like, what is this about? You know. So. I don't know. The PhotoCon is March 26th through 28th, and you guys should definitely come out and nerd out because there's going to be a lot of photographers there. There's going to be a lot of videographers there.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. It gets bigger every year. It's
this year we're 500? Running the first video photo walk.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Very cool.
So 6:30 on Thursday, we're meeting still side and video.
Uh-huh.
Video's taking a separate walk. And right now we have lined up a skateboard demo team.
Ooh, that's perfect.
And a Pan America dance team. like with the big skirts.
Yeah.
Wow.
So and then Slow-mo we all
city right there.
Yeah, it's gonna be great for like for the video guy. I mean, the still guys could have fun, but the video guys need to have some music, and then we're all going to join up at the end for the grand finale where we're lighting shit on fire.
Like people?
No, no. Shit, not people.
Well, some people are shit, but we won't go there. That might be too bad for the day. But yeah, it's going to be fun. So cool. I'm definitely interested in your class. So let's talk about what makes you tick.
All right.
So I heard that on Facebook there was some marketing, and it said that you were abducted by aliens.
No, I am an alien.
You are an alien. Okay, alien. Good.
Yeah.
So nice segue, Robert.
You like that segue?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I'm glad you saw that on Facebook.
That was pretty good. I like that.
I did not see that. So carry on.
No, I have a fascination with UFOs and aliens, and I have theories about what UFOs really are.
Well, indoctrinate us.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm like the other side of this whole spectrum because I don't.
You don't believe?
I think
Seriously? Okay.
I honestly think we can't explain them. Right? Most of the time, we can't explain them. Even if you watch like astronaut interviews or government or even like military is super open about it. You can just go on and read about it or look at all the videos and interviews, and they don't like they don't give a shit. Like they're just like, yeah, we saw this thing. We don't know how to explain it. We don't know what it is. It came up on radar. We saw it in the air and blah, blah, blah. And then it disappeared. And so that made me think of like, okay, what if they're not there? They move so quickly for any kind of organic being to be inside. Like, think about that. Like, G-forces, the way they move and the fast they move. I think they're cameras. I think they're interdimensional cameras.
I had never thought of that.
I think they come here, spy on us, and leave.
Mr. Trawick here was in the Air Force. He probably has some stories.
Oh, really?
Oh, I have lots of stories.
20
you
years.
You have UFO stories?
Oh, God, yeah, dude.
Dude.
Everybody dishing. Does. What's dishing? And here's the thing. It's one of those where you don't... You can't explain it because you don't know. I don't have the knowledge.
Right.
But you know how they always talk about seeing animals fire on the tip of aircraft?
Uh-huh.
Okay? So seeing that, it's like seeing a UFO.
I can imagine.
The tip of the wing starts glowing. And you really think that, like, okay, what? Is that on fire?
Glowing what? Like color?
Like glowing green.
Whoa.
Okay, on the tip of the aircraft that you're in?
Of the tip of the aircraft, on the just right there on the edge, on the leading edge of the aircraft wing. And it'll just start kind of like glowing a little bit.
You don't think that's like residue from Aurora Borealis stuff?
Solar flaring? I mean, it's all explainable. But when you see it and experience it, you can't comprehend. You're just dealing with the moment. So when I see a lot of these UFO sightings that happen, I always think... It's plausible that it's just a physical property that we don't yet understand.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a big Bermuda Triangle guy.
Oh, really?
That is completely, dude, totally unexplained.
That is bizarre stuff.
I mean, that's, you know, you had that perfect triangle where it, you know, if it was a couple of aircraft went down, hey, we can explain that off.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been ships, aircraft, squadrons of jets that have gone into there and, like, all of a sudden, no radio communication, and all of them disappeared.
You think it's like an energy triad? Because it's, like, all surrounded by volcanoes? That's why it's there.
I think that, again, it's those stuff that we can't explain, and I feel that it's a interdimensional portal. Man. I feel that they've gone into that. And if all the conditions line up perfectly, they just like slip into a different dimension.
Sloop.
Because it makes sense that we can't find them or hear from them. We never see them again. Mm-hmm. There's no more communication. There's no debris. Like it does, possibility-wise, if one plane goes down, hey, it could be an error.
What if there's like an island we can't see? And then they go in and it's paradise and they're like, we don't have to go back.
If it was a couple of guys, I would think that, but, you know, I don't know, but camera sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Speaking about that, since you do film, have you ever experienced those photographing the, I don't know what they call it, but it's the...
Metaphysical?
The lines that run right across in video. Have you seen that? Not the banding that we relate to digital, but it was very popular... With the old tape film where you'd be filming at night and there'd be like these for lack of a better word, like glow worms that like run across your screen.
Oh, orbs and stuff.
The orbs and everything. Completely
into orbs.
Completely unexplained. Like you're, there's no light sources that are creating this. There's nothing wrong with your camera. And they're just in and out. They play around a little bit, then they disappear.
Yes.
That to me is freaky.
Yeah.
That... Okay. One second.
Okay.
Welcome to the alien episode. Thank you.
I didn't hear your microphone at all. Like your microphone didn't even go.
I heard it.
Did you hear it?
Did you guys hear that? Thank you very much. Okay, continue. Go ahead. I just had to play that.
We should have queued these up before we got here. Welcome to Alien World with Matt.
That was a good little sound I had there.
That was pretty good. You got lucky on that. Okay, so you feel that they're cameras, but are those cameras from a...
Well, I mean, think about it.
From another culture that's checking on us.
What are we doing in Mars right now? We don't have any human life over there. We can't afford to. If we can just zap something, which I think the Japanese did, they sent some sort of
like ion electron, particle
to space and brought it back. Well, I find that really interesting, and I think maybe eventually we can do that to physical objects, but I don't know about biology,
like the fly kind of
stuff. Like I think it'll be so.
Or Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, man, Star Trek is that's some cool stuff,
dude. I love Star Trek.
Yeah, I love it.
Matter of fact,
Shatner.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah,
Friday night.
Yeah. You met Shatner Friday night.
Yeah, I took pictures of him with at a meet and greet.
Prove it. Do you have your phone?
Well, let me prove it.
I need to see this.
Okay.
Where?
He was here in Norman. Oklahoma?
Yeah,
he was
in Norman. Riverwind Casino.
Yeah, he was doing a review of Wrath of Khan.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, so your social media is only going one way.
Oh, my God. Right there. Proof.
Okay, now hang on. So just look at
him. Listeners, we're showing a picture of me. William Shatner.
That's my Uncle Bill.
It's true.
It's very true. I'm more of, like, he's more my Uncle
Will.
Uncle Bill. His Bill is William. We call him Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill.
Yeah. Uncle Bill.
Okay.
So, but I'm more of him when he was in Boston Legal. Because I also have mad cow disease.
Boston Legal is, like, out of my...
Yeah, his age group.
Yeah.
All right, Robert, you're showing your age now. I guess we're not going to be talking about like the Jackson 5 or the Osmond brothers on cartoons.
Uh-oh. Matt is Googling something.
I'm Googling Boston Legal.
What? Dude, you would love the filming in this.
He was
this.
Also doing the, what was the detective show? He's a cop. What was that?
T.J. Hooker.
Yeah, T.J. Hooker.
Oh, I've heard of that. But never Boston Legal. I don't think I watched it either.
But
you gotta watch Boston Legal. You will crack up.
Oh man, what's his name's in it? I like that guy.
Yeah, he's like really
James Spader.
Yes.
Yeah, he's
and
cool.
He's very. I think that's Boston Legal is kind of what built the character for. What was it? Is it the new one he's doing? The long ones like Black Ops or whatever it is. Where he's like the Spader. Yeah, Spader is doing the.
Let's find out.
What's the name of that show he's doing? It's he plays like a CIA spook. Pull it up. Come on.
I'm looking.
You're almost there.
Blacklist?
That's it, Blacklist.
Are you sure that's 2013?
That's it. But it's been like for 6 or 7 seasons.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I haven't seen it, but I like him a lot. I liked him in Office when he came to the Office.
Yeah, he's got a really deadpan humor. It's kind of scary. You're not sure if he's joking or if he's actually going to kill you.
Yeah. I think he's mostly going to kill you.
So how about that Facebook? It's great. It's a great platform to promote yourself.
You know what I think is interesting about social media is you can literally reach out to anybody.
Yeah.
And if they are like, they're just like a text message away in a way.
Really?
Like a message away. Like they could actually respond.
Who would you
want
to reach out on
Facebook?
Oh,
you're not going to believe who I tried to hit up just recently.
Who? Let's hear.
I got what's his name? Why can't I think of his name?
If you don't know his name, it's kind of hard to reach up to him.
Yeah, I know, right? I had to look up his YouTube because his YouTube's crazy. Okay, what's Uncle from Christmas Vacation?
Oh, yeah.
Uncle Buck?
Yeah. Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck.
Or not. Is it Uncle
Buck? Christmas Vacation.
Uncle Buck?
Randy Quaid. I sent an email to Randy Quaid recently.
And did he respond?
No. But it was just last week, so you never know.
Yeah.
But you sent an email. Now, yeah. Okay, so did you
He doesn't have like a Facebook page or an Instagram, so I had to go on his YouTube. He does?
He does. You just don't know what it is.
Are you sure?
Well, he doesn't. Robert doesn't know. He's saying he does.
This is what I'm going to tell you. Every single actor out there, even on the, like the D list, has got Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's how they main. That's how they see what's going on. It's just not a name that you would know.
Yeah, that's, like I follow several stars on Instagram, but right. There's so many comments, like millions of comments, and they never see that stuff.
Yeah,
no, they have someone. They have someone respond. Do it. So when you sent the email, mm-hmm. How do you know if he opened it?
Well, I don't. I have no idea.
But hey, guess what? You happen to be a Mac user.
That's true.
And there's a program out there that Jim uses called. For mail, know. So you can know when they open up the email.
Oh, Mail Butler.
But
you have to use the Apple Mail app.
Really?
It's a plugin for that app.
Okay.
And yeah. It tells you when they
if they, open when they it, read it. And, it's,
and
it
if they
tells
click
you,
anything.
And if they click a link in it.
Oh, tight.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So that way you could at least know if someone opened it.
Huh. I have talked to two strange people through email about strange things in the past.
Well, we'll do share what's going on because I want to know.
One of them is a writer, and then one of them is a street artist. And I kind of talked to him before he kind of blew up.
The street artist, you're talking about Blinky or Binky?
Binksy,
that's it.
Yeah.
Binksy. Did you talk to him?
I did.
Shut
email.
Up. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Well, okay. So a long time ago, he had an interesting little story. On his email, I was like obsessed with his work because he did his album cover for. The album's called Think Tank, and it's by who did the song Woohoo? Why can't I think tonight?
That's why he has a computer.
That's right. That's why I have a computer to think for me all the time.
I forgot my iPad. I feel so naked.
Jump about the Woohoo!
Yeah,
that song.
Yeah, you know who did that? It was,
I did not.
But sing it again, Jim.
Blur had an album called Think Tank, and I think he did the album cover for it, and I followed his art through that, and I was like, okay, there's a Banksy dude. Also, Banksy was kind of blowing up in New York at the time, post-9/11.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, street art was exploding. So I went to Banksy's website. You could buy his art from his website, and he had this landing page, and on the landing page was a picture of Holocaust victims with lipstick on, and I was like, huh. There's a little story about why he posted it, and he's like, this is why art's important. And in that message was, I just told this story the other day, which is funny. A group of soldiers recently saved a camp, a concentration camp, and they were calling for supplies. And so the supplies came in, they opened the crates, and all there was lipstick inside of it. Yeah, and so the soldiers were really worried, but everybody started coming over and just pulling out lipstick and putting it on, just like mashing it on their face, and it like raised morale. Everybody survived. It was just such the weirdest thing, but it was just so different from their normal everyday, like drab
that's
dreary and
sad. Way weird.
Isn't that weird? Very weird? But yeah, it's a weird story. So anyway, I thought that was a good story, and he had taken that away from his splash page, which was a long time ago. And I was like, why did he take that away? It's such a good message. It's like such a cool story. Emailed them, got a response back, and he was like, well, we found the message was great, but we're deciding to, you know, try something different, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So I just thought it was really weird. I got a response from Banksy.
That's
really
awesome.
Interesting.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I love that. How did you feel about that piece of art that he made that destroyed itself at the gavel?
I love that. That was so cool.
I thought that was amazing. Because I just think all these rich people trying to figure out, is it worth more now?
Or post, or like before.
Or
yeah.
Before. I think it had to be worth more.
I think it's the statement that's valuable.
Yes.
You know, and you can't put a price on the statement unless you buy the piece of art.
Exactly.
Let's buy the piece of art, yeah.
Yeah, I think I thought that was like very ingenious that his mind worked that way.
Yeah.
I'll just go ahead and turn my volume down because I have nothing to say.
You have nothing to say?
Okay. I don't know, yeah, any of that stuff, so.
All right, so let's move over to marketing because Matt's a designer.
Yeah.
So let's talk about something that's in the news here that I think relates to everyone in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about this new logo.
Yes.
So how do you feel about the logo?
Me personally,
and understand that there's nobody from, like, you know, the Oklahoma Bureau of Firearm and Tobacco outside our door. We're completely safe.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they don't listen to us.
And they don't listen to us. And understand that my opinions are strictly my own, and I am not from Oklahoma. I just choose to live here. So I feel that the logo looks a lot like, well, North Texas.
Yeah, it looks like Oklahoma's trying to be Texas.
I agree. So really? How's this going to play out during Bedlam?
And here's the thing. I mean, most of the controversy behind it is it's well, I don't know. I just don't know. Does anybody know the controversy?
Well, the controversy that I see is that what I heard on the internet, because everything on the internet's real,
right?
is this was a push because the government felt, and we're talking about the government of Oklahoma, felt that our branding needed to be refreshed because we were not attracting industries to Oklahoma.
That's kind of true.
And I understand that, but I feel that if you think that branding isn't attracting customers versus your local labor laws, I think that's the difference. But they took this branding, and remember, this branding is to help bring industry to Oklahoma,
right?
And they outsourced it to a Canadian company. And that's the same logo.
That's the thing that pisses
like
me off.
Nebraska has.
There's plenty of graphic artists here. Hello.
Like I did when I worked for ODOT. Let's talk about ODOT.
We're going to talk about ODOT?
I used to work for ODOT doing photo and video for them.
ODOT is Oklahoma Department of Transportation.
Absolutely.
Hang on a second. So we have somebody in common then. You know Russell the Muscle.
I do know Russell.
Here, again, let me turn my volume down. Homie.
let me go back to
Russell.
So Russell and I shot the Yard Dogs together.
Oh, no way.
Back in the day.
That's cute.
That is cute. Thank you so much.
Let me just go back to Texas. I don't see how the resemblance of Texas could be.
It's a star.
Okay.
It's a star.
But the
did we even have a star in the old logo?
Someone mentioned that there was a star in a logo previous to the Indian shield that we have.
Man, I love that Indian shield.
I think the Indian shield had a lot of history to it.
And it meant something to a lot of people. It meant something to me. I even like the old license plate we had, the one before we have this one, the blue one with the archer. That was so sick.
Whose idea was it to switch that crap to the little $3 million? Yeah, there you go.
Talon, excuse me.
All right, never mind. I love how this turned from photography to politics.
Yeah.
We just like to stay in the P's. Any guess what the next P is going to be?
That's my realm. Anyway.
From the peanut gallery, she says philosophy.
And the peanut starts with a P too.
Sure does.
I like P words. P words are good.
So okay. The logo. Okay. So
let's do the logo. Give us your opinion.
What does it mean? What do the five arrows mean? Is that
it has to do with agriculture, land, earth, people, diversity, blah, blah, blah. There you go. Okay. Five distinct regions of Oklahoma.
Huh.
Did you have something to do with this, Melissa? Oh, you did.
She did. She's just not telling us.
Let me go back to ODOT. When I worked for ODOT, so as a designer, they had an open...
As a designer at ODOT?
Logo. Oh. Yeah, I also did graphic design there. I did like four jobs there. Mm. But it was pretty cool.
But they didn't pay you for four jobs, did they?
Absolutely not. They had an open call for employees to design a logo for ODOT because they wanted a rebrand. Their old one was outdated and it was kind of terrible. And I submitted over 50 designs.
Wow.
Just to give them something, you know, and
just something to blow their freaking mind. Here's 50.
Yeah. And I think I spent like half a day on it. And it was just like exploring ideas through it. And that's kind of like the early stages of any kind of logo is you come up with a shotgun blast of ideas and then you narrow them down and you get something and then you have like your top three and then, you know, people usually decide on that. So anyway, sent those designs in. I wait. Oh, they announced a winner, somebody who was retiring and they just wanted to like, and it looks like the Death Star. And it was like ODOT with a circle and a line, a little wavy line through. It looked like the Death Star and then a DOT. All in blue. I was so mad. God, we had so much potential there.
That's so crazy. But what can you do with ODOT? I mean,
no. Put in Oklahoma.
No, you need ODOT.
That looks better than that what they did.
That look, I think that was that Ohio.
Yeah, there's Department. Ohio and Oregon and
yeah.
Carry on. Don't
okay. Yeah. Anyway, so
carry on. My
but now with this logo, on. They're replacing this logo with everything. That's every
correct.
Department.
That's correct. They are dropping welcome signs right now at the border with Texas, so that way the Texans can feel as though this is an extension of their border.
I mean, what stops me from printing one of these out on a sticker and putting it on my car? Doesn't that look like the Death Star?
It does look like the Death Star. Wow,
dude, that is exactly the Death Star.
Wow. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
And how many years ago was that?
Oh, like 4 or 5.
Yeah. It needs to be refreshed.
Maybe 6. I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
That does look like Death Star, like really bad.
Yeah.
Was he a Star Trek fan?
No, Star Wars.
Star Wars. Sorry. Yeah. I always get the stars confused. That was a double entendre.
But like, why? What if I printed this out and threw it on my car and acted like I was an official Oklahoma employee, you know, like it seems so easy. I guess you can do that with every logo, but I don't know. It just, there needs to be a distinction between departments. So I guess it'd be like Oklahoma and then underneath the department name, which can be really, really long, right? What was that one really long department? She's not going to say.
She's not going to jump in.
She doesn't want to talk at all.
We have the microphone. We can get you on here. We can pop a lavalier mic. Stick it right to your throat. She's like really standing offish. She's like, I was just checking to see if I had deodorant on.
Just one second. Okay,
go ahead. One second.
Visit our world headquarters at photofaxpodcast.com. Visit our world headquarters at photofaxpodcast.com.
I just had to do that
two
twice.
Two of them. Two of them.
I just had to do it twice. Yeah.
Well,
was there a reason?
I just wanted to break the monotony. There's just.
I'm sorry. Was that philosophical?
Yes.
Okay, well, I
what do you guys think of the logo? I don't like the star. I just don't like it.
I think it was a waste of money.
It's a total waste of money.
That's a total waste of money that went to a non-Oklahoma. Yeah, to Canada.
Went to Canada. I mean, I like Canada. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, dude, I like Canada.
But aren't we supposed to, if that's going to cause industry, can't we cause industry here in Oklahoma?
I agree.
Instead of going somewhere else? I don't even know how a Canadian firm scored that. Somebody's buddies with somebody.
That's the only way it could be.
That's the only way. Like, how did this pass mustered in the laws of Oklahoma that we're going to outsource the branding of Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't one department that says, hey, I got a buddy in Canada that can make us a website really cheap or a logo really cheap. This is the entire branding for the state of Oklahoma came from Canada.
You know,
that's an insult.
I know so many people who are here that aren't from Oklahoma that are designers.
Yes.
That could have done. I mean, even that would have been $100,000 better than what we got from.
Man, I got to tell you, I'm not a designer, and I could have done a hell of a job with the word Oklahoma and Helvetica.
That's
and
cheating.
It'd have been a lot cheaper. I'd only charge them $125,000 versus $250,000.
I like the font, though. I think the font's great.
Yeah.
I think the font's good. I'm debating on whether or not I like the extra leg of the K.
The K, it's going underground.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was going to be. I feel like they almost need to take it a little bit further, and that could have been your start point for your department. Department of Energy, Department of Transportation.
That's true.
Like, that would have been a good start point for your sub title.
There's some departments that are like Department of Everything Under the Sun that we need to say to the whole world, and that's what it is, and it's really long, and
it's just really
fit.
Yeah.
So Matt, what is your camera body of choice?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim needs to be in here.
What? No, we need to talk about photography.
Oh, this is photography.
Is it really?
Yes, because hang on, because Robert always has a plan in how this goes around.
It looks kind of like an aperture, by the way.
Oh, it sure does. Yeah.
Well. Like, this is one of these things. Like, so Oklahoma, I feel, made a mistake. I'm sure a lot of other people don't believe that. But so when we're talking about branding as well as marketing, would this be something that a new photographer would do? Like, hey, I'm not getting enough business. My phone isn't ringing. So I should pay an outside company to make me a new branding, a new logo. And all of a sudden, business will be booming.
What's funny is Oklahoma, that I hired my friends who live in Oklahoma to do my branding. I could have done it myself, but I wanted somebody's outsider, you know, to look at it from an outside perspective, which I get, you know, from Canada, but, you know, you can still do it here in Oklahoma. Right. But anyway, they did a great job with what my company logo is called, 1984 Studios.
And, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
1984 was actually kind of a good year for me. So.
It was a good year for a lot of people.
So why is it a good year for you?
It was the year I was born.
Shit.
And also,
oh, God, I'm feeling old.
Don't feel old.
It was also a great album that, Van Halen put out.
So. Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of good movies came out in 84. A lot of books. There's a whole book called 1984. Wow. That was a big inspiration behind the logo. But
so you know I was doing 1984?
How old were you in 1984?
I was old.
How old were you?
I was already in the service. I was like 22.
I was going to say 18.
That was, well, actually it was 83, but going into 84, we were doing mop up and clean up in Grenada.
Oh, wow.
In the Falkland Islands.
Wow. So
I'm that old.
Were you a pilot?
No, I was a combat photographer.
Oh, fucking badass.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry for the F-bomb.
No, hey, it's all good, man.
Yeah, tell me about the optics in that, like from planes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever talked about that on the show?
I think we may have touched on it a couple of times, but we can talk offline. This is all about you.
Okay.
We want to talk about you.
That's interesting stuff, though.
But we can talk about, I want to know about this 1984 studio. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, my company is what I'm trying to focus on, films and music videos specifically. I do documentaries too. So those are my three main primaries.
Very cool.
I'm just starting to dabble in some commercial work locally. I only work locally and there's only certain people I'd work for, but, so I'm kind of specific on what I do.
So do you want to talk any at all about your future plans?
Locally, I want to talk about that. Do you?
You're locally, like, you know, we talked offline before.
Oh, man. My dream is to have a studio, like an actual. Oh, did I go?
Brick and mortar.
Ooh.
I don't know what happened to me.
That's okay.
There. Oh, you there. Cut off.
I kinda,
there you
yeah,
go.
Sorry about that. Did it again. Anyway.
It's okay. You're good. You're good.
So, yeah, I would love to run or own or have available a soundstage, which I think there's a lot of people working on that right now. There's a few entities that I know of that are trying to do that. I know that one is putting in a school to work closely with the soundstage that they're planning on building. And
I've actually seen that one.
Have you?
I've seen the plans for that one.
Do you know what it's like? Green something studios?
I don't remember the name of it, but it's actually going in an old, is it an old elementary school that they're turning into a sound studio, a psych wall? And a full production where you can come in and rent for the day.
You know, that sounds about like Richard, what's his name?
But it
Richard
just kind of,
is that,
it just kind of popped in on some social media. And then I have, like on Sundays, I do Feedly. So I'd look at, sorry about that.
What does that mean?
That would be my pass through. So Jamie Cobb, thank you for calling, but I can't take your call right now.
Oh, Jamie.
Jamie, and she'll be speaking at PhotoCon as well. So you got to check out her program. Hers is called The Hustle.
The Hustle.
The Hustle.
That's
and
cool.
It's not a dance move. This girl's like the Energizer Bunny.
Wow.
It's crazy. Let's see here. I'm just going to hit here and just tell her that I'll talk to her here in a little bit. But I have her on pass-through. Oh, thank you, Kim. I appreciate that.
I might have to hit it twice.
Are you going to hit it twice? Okay, good. All right, I sent the
that's
message.
Pretty long. All right, there we go.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Now what's going to happen, she's going to text me back, and that's on pass-through as well.
Well, turn off your ringer.
You understand what pass-through works, right?
Yeah, I know, but turn off your
I have to turn off my phone completely. Because if you turn the ringer off,
not if you turn on vibrate.
No, it goes through. It's called. That's what the bypass is.
Never heard of that.
What? Are you kidding me?
If you turn it off, your audio off, it won't ding.
It will still ding. It's called emergency bypass.
Okay.
Go look it up in the thing. It's really important. I'm sorry. Did I like bust the bubble on that?
No.
Do you guys have problems like calling? Like, oh, he didn't answer. Oh, I was busy, honey. I only have a couple of people on emergency bypass.
I'm on there.
Oh, Oh, God, that sounded so creepy right there. Oh, that sounded so... That sounded so bad. And then people are just not going to understand us getting a single room with one bed.
And we, just so you know, if he tells you, we do not spoon. We do not. We have separate beds. Please, please do not picture that in your brain.
But why is that, Jim?
Because I don't want to.
Because you're still looking for a woman.
Hey, well, I won't deny that, but yeah, nobody will have me. So anyway.
Someday.
Oh, nobody will have you?
That's correct.
Deb, if you're listening right now, please be sure to call Jim.
I will.
God. Well, you said nobody would have you.
Who's Deb?
Hang on, do we have...
You asked me what my camera of choice was.
Yeah, what is it? I bet it's Sony.
Well, I do shoot Sony.
Okay.
It's not my choice camera.
It's really? Not his choice camera.
For video.
Oh, for video? Well, I mean, I just bought a new...
Don't tell me a red camera.
I bought a new Sigma FP, which I really like.
And for really?
Video, yeah.
It's pretty cool. Still,
I've heard Sigma's stepping up, and I didn't know they actually had stuff.
I mean, their lens line's great, but that their new camera is really cool. Full frame, tiny. It's definitely, if you got man hands, it's not the best, but I rigged it up and I love it.
Well, once you put really that thing in a like a small rig frame and add some accessories to it, it doesn't make a difference really what size it started as.
Yeah. I mean, it's still pretty compact camera size system, which what I have it at now, and I like it a lot.
But that's not your favorite camera, is it?
No, I have a favorite camera.
Yeah, give him the favorite camera.
This is my favorite camera.
If you pull out a Pentax K1000, it's going to be crazy.
Watch, it's a vintage something or other.
It's not vintage. I don't think it's considered vintage. It's the first. Yet. It's the first rangefinder. It's called Epson RD1.
Dude! Have you listened to the podcast?
No. I mean, I looked at it, but I haven't listened to any of them. I'm sorry.
Shit.
I will. Have you talked about this?
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
Really?
All the time. It
comes up like, do you have one?
No. And let me tell you why. Because this is the Epson rangefinder that came out. This is 6 megapixel.
Yep.
6 megapixel. Mm-hmm. And uses the Leica M mount.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it for Christmas.
Oh.
When it first came out, I thought, okay, this is super cool. This is badass. I want one. Couldn't afford it. So I waited a year. Christmas time, I checked the prices, and the prices freaking went up.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked for years every Christmas, and the price never came down from like $1,300, $1,400.
Yeah, they're pricey.
They're pricey, but this thing is like solid.
Yeah. You can use it as a hammer for sure.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
That is cool.
Have you guys ever used rangefinders? Just in any capacity? Oh, yeah,
absolutely. He's used a lot of stuff. I have.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah. It's just like a rangefinder.
And that's cool. One of the things that I really love about the Fuji X Pro series.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is like my favorite.
Very similar to Fuji.
And the screen comes out.
Yeah. So
the screen is hidden.
So like you flip, this has a flip around screen. The newer ones don't. So there's like the G, the X, mm-hmm. the G and the X line, RD1X and RD1G. I think they have the screen that's not articulated.
Yeah, but we don't like that. We like the screen completely closed, so it looks just like a film camera.
Just because he's got a new X Pro 3.
But the reason I love the X Pro 3 is because this was what it was. It's probably not designed. They're not going to admit that it designed after that, but that's exactly what it's for.
Yeah, true. Absolutely. It looks very much like the X Pro 3.
All the time.
So what year was that?
I think this came out in 2004? Yeah, I don't know. Let me look.
No, 2006.
Okay, so explain the lens. That's a very tiny...
Oh, the lens is even more interesting, I think.
It's like...
There you go.
It the looks X like Pro a... what do you call it? A
yep.
Pinhole camera.
I got a story about the one. So I used to own this camera. I bought it a long time ago. The X Pro 1 came out. And
yes.
So I sold it. To get the X Pro 1 because I was like, I want the megapixels. I want,
right.
You know, the lens selection, blah, blah, blah. I loved it. And then I got out of, oh man, look at that. It has even the little thing on the back where you can
and you see change the film. It and you get the film simulation
mm-hmm.
showed up on the back just like a film camera.
Yeah, I shot this lens for years, man.
Did you really?
Yeah, this lens is a great little lens.
Was that the 56 or what is that one?
That's the 20. That's a 35-1.4.
Okay,
so it's like a 50 full frame 50.
Yeah, man, that's quick. Way quicker than the one.
Oh yeah, dude, this thing
way
is
way quicker than the one.
And then the one thing I really like about it, and the reason I love the rangefinder, is check this baby out.
For the listeners, they're looking
so
at cameras.
So this has the optical.
I do not have a camera in my hand.
So it's very rangefinderish.
Oh wow. It is.
What? Hear that spinner?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that's like augmented reality there.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It is totally awesome. And then, of course, the same thing. They completely covered the back. So people are like, oh, are you shooting film? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Because there's no screen. You have to flip it down to get the screen.
They don't know.
They don't know.
Are we all taking pictures of each other right now?
Oh, we're totally taking pictures of each other. Oh, there you go. Get it, Jim.
We need a thumbnail for the podcast.
A thumbnail for the podcast?
There you go. If he doesn't have a headshot.
You can use that.
Well, you know what? Hang on a second. Hang on. Forget about the headshot.
What?
Do you have any photographs of aliens? I mean, you are alien. You have like a family photo?
Just of me and my dog.
Oh.
That's the one we want.
That's the one you want. All right, I can see what I can send you guys.
And Roger is big head, right? Like he directs you at night, like, get me food.
Yes, I have an alternate, like a personality with him for sure.
Roger's the dog. Yeah. Roger's the dog. What kind of dog is it?
He's a Maltese Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
A Maltese Shih Tzu.
Yes, we're talking about you, Roger. Yeah.
So he was a Shih Tzu that went to Maltese, and then he bred with something, and that's what happened.
Okay, we're working on 46 minutes now.
Oh,
so I guess we should have some contact. Some content. Content.
Wait, we never talked about my lens.
Yeah, let's talk about your lens.
This is really cool.
It's a pinhole camera, right?
It is a pinhole lens? No. It's a pancake?
Mm-mm. It's called the Super Triplet Pirar by MS Optical.
Okay,
MS Optical?
What's the difference in that? Oh, wait a second. Oh, okay, I see now. It's got its own cover. So
MS Optical, it's this guy who makes his own lenses in Japan.
Wow.
And he specializes in like compact lenses. Here's a picture of him. He looks so happy here.
Oh, he does look happy.
Doesn't he look happy?
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't he design all the Fuji lenses?
No. Does it say his name right here?
Fuji lenses make you happy. Makes me happy.
Mr. Miyazaki.
Hey.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what it says. Anyway.
Reminds me of the Karate Kid.
Yeah. So he makes all these little, like, really pancake style lenses that are pretty incredible. But he also has another line that's pretty more rangefinder ish.
So, and is all of his lenses in mount?
I think so. Yeah. Specifically.
And the reason I'm asking is over this entire time, it's so interesting to find that the Japanese culture photographers love German cameras.
They do.
But the Germans really love the Japanese cameras.
They do. They have like a, well, I mean, they've been making stuff for each other post-war
forever.
Decades.
It's nuts. But you'll go to Germany where Leica's made supposedly like the best camera in the world.
Zeiss and Leica.
Exactly. Yeah. But everybody's shooting with, you know, a Canon, Nikon or whatever. And you go to Japan where they have all these amazing Japanese manufacturers and they're shooting Leicas and, another one. Was it Praktik?
Prantech,
it's like one of the old film bodies from the 60s. That was very popular over there, too.
Really?
And it's crazy to go into some of the camera stores in Japan, and it's just a whole bunch of German film cameras. Just crazy. It's nuts. Yeah.
Have you been to Japan?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Japan.
Japan is definitely the Mushu balls that you get on the street vendors was like my favorite. Like,
God,
dude, I can
so
just
good.
Eat the whole way from going anywhere.
I remember being kind of drunk and was like, God, I'm so hungry. And it was like 2 a.m. and there's nothing open at that point in Japan. And you're just walking. And then there was like this little temple that I was coming up on. And then I smelled this like really sweet baking sap smell. I'm like, what is that? And it's this little old lady with a tiny little like cooking stove, and she was cooking sweet potatoes. And you just grab one of those sweet potatoes, rip it in half, and just chow down.
Dude,
it's perfect. It was exactly what I needed.
It's crazy. Now, when you were there, did they have the big vending machine?
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Like, that was crazy to walk down the street, and there's vending machines, and I'm not kidding you, Jim. Like, you could buy socks, you could buy underwear,
yeah,
you could buy phones.
That was my only assignment from friends, was like, here, find the vending machine with underwear and give me some underwear.
Yeah,
that was like what they wanted.
Like, it's absolutely so insane.
So is that where that's why we're seeing that in airports now, where, you know, where you have the vending machine to buy product?
Oh, yeah, I think
where it started in Japan. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff over there.
Well, they're very efficient. When you think about those, we laugh about them, but it requires a minimum amount of electricity. And, you know, once you were able to do take payments and credit cards, the machine doesn't hold any money. So it's just holding goods.
Right.
So if it is stolen, you don't lose your profits. You just lose your cost.
Oh, that's a good point.
So, I mean, the Japanese, when I talk to those guys about, like, why do you have so many? Like, it's convenient. We can drop these anywhere that has power. So we can have basically a store that's run 24/7 constantly selling. So this was the preemptor to the internet.
Imagine buying lenses through that. Well, I bet B&H, or not B&H, what was the big Yobadashi camera? Did you go there?
No, I did not go there.
Oh, dude.
There are some things you want to avoid. Because I would have gone broke. But yeah. I had a mission for my daughter to get Pikachu cards, manga cards.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
they're probably more rare there or something.
Dude, like, I went on some of these like little alleyways where it was like I just walked into a complete different market of the world.
Yeah.
Like, why is that girl blue? Well, that's like the way she always dresses. Oh, yeah. And then I ran across a whole bunch of schoolgirls that I thought were schoolgirls. They were not.
Oh.
They were like posed as like some kind of like samurai killer things. They were like in costume.
Oh, they had like...
Yeah, like had that big swords on the back. And I'm like, oh, cool.
Harajuku girls?
Yeah, dude. It's like, oh, that was kind of scary.
I got stopped all the time for people wanting to take pictures. This was like...
Well, that's because you're a good looking guy.
I'm huge. It was really strange being the biggest person in the country, you know?
Yeah, that is a plus. I was not. I was kind of like an old grandpa.
Man, I have a photo story about Japan. So...
It's some photo content? Yeah. Alrighty then.
Like, I shot the shit out of Japan when I was there. No, I know their culture.
We've done that before in the past. Yeah.
And so I had this big 500 millimeter lens, and my uncle and my aunt and I go to the sumo wrestling thing. It was really going on at the time. This was like, I think, in January in 2009. And, you know, I get some good pictures from above because we're like two tiers above. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to go to the floor. He's like, no, don't do that. I'm like, I'm going to go to the floor and get some photos. And they're like, okay. And so I go down there. I'm there for like 15 minutes. And everybody kept looking at me. And I was not supposed to be on the floor. Like, just like from me to that, see that, like the living room over here.
Yeah.
That's how close I was to the sumo stage. And like, there was Yakuza, you know, like,
dude, yeah.
Like officials, like Japanese officials, you know, looking at me and going, oh, he doesn't need to be there, you know?
And
I'm just like,
take him up back and teach him a lesson.
With a 500 mil?
Yeah.
Oh, God, what were you doing? Getting the dimples on their butts?
Basically. Yeah. And then some woman comes, so you need a leave this area. And I'm like, okay, I will, here in a minute.
Oh,
you know? Oh, my God.
Culture. They're not, you know, super.
Confrontational.
Not. And so I was like, I knew I could get away from them in 5 minutes, and I did. And I was also like, I don't know, 20-something. So
pretty, man, that's funny.
Yeah, just being that ugly American, I guess.
You're just pushing the limits.
Yeah, I was pushing my limits.
So now you know, if any of our listeners ever happen to make it over to Japan and go to a sumo wrestler match, and they say, no Americans past this point, you can welcome.
That's because of me.
It's because of him.
I left my gloves there.
So.
Oh, I'm sure some sumo wrestler busted it when he put his hands in there.
Maybe.
It could be.
Someone's like, man, some of those huge hands.
Oh, wow. This just really took a turn for the worse. I like it. So I understand that your other passion is conspiracies.
Yeah, I like conspiracies. I have a conspiracy about Canon, Nikon, and Sony, and all them.
I have one too, and I can tell you all about mine.
Well, I mean, I think
you tell me yours first.
Well, mine's like, okay, you know how there's always the top selling camera about every other year, every 2 or 3 years. Well, I think they negotiate that behind the scenes. Like the big bosses get together and like, okay, well, here's our plan for this, and then we'll release this with this sensor, and you know, we'll manufacture this sensor for you, and you can release this year, and then you guys will be the top dog. And that I really don't think they compete. I think they quasi compete. They're
working together.
Yeah, they work together just to be on top every year to sell the most cameras for that year. Because like, well, I'm because I look at the like for I don't know since the D800 came out and watching the trends from there, it's just been the kind of same thing. And then Sony's been on top, so I'm like, I think they're kind of outside of Nikon and Canon, but between Nikon and Canon, I think they.
And what was the other one you included? Sony?
Sony, yeah.
Yeah. I think Fuji's out on their own.
Well, Fuji's definitely out on their own.
Whenever the
X-Pro 1 came out, that was probably the most anticipated camera I've ever seen, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody was just freaking out about it. It's like, oh, this retro style camera.
Right.
That's whatever, because Nikon tried to do it too with their...
DF.
Yeah, the DF, which is... dumb as fuck.
That's what it stands for.
Yeah, the F.
I gotta say, it was a sexy camera.
It was.
But all you did was dumb it down.
Yeah.
You could have left the retro styling, but leave the video in it, you dumbass.
Exactly. It's like, why did you take away all the things that people are using right now?
And
I see what they were trying to do.
It failed.
But it failed, you know. The Fuji came out, and they've just they've been running full force, and I love what they're doing. I think I did get a Fuji camera recently, the X50S or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They sent that to me to play around with, and...
Stop. Shh. Sent you
Fuji
a camera to use.
Yeah. They're cool. That's why I love Fuji.
Mm-hmm.
They're really cool. Although their 50S was not as cool as I thought. I was hoping they'd send me the 100, whatever that is.
Yes, the 100.
How do you score that?
GFX? Yeah, GFX 100.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ask?
Yeah, well, Bedford was really cool. They were trying to get me to do one of these classes, and they're like, what kind of cameras do you like? And I'm like, Fuji. And they're like, oh, we'll send you one. And I'm like, well, okay, cool, give me that 100. And they're like, well. And
we can't give you that one.
Send me the 50.
The 100 F.
The medium format,
the 100 megapixel one.
Right.
And did you hear about the new software?
No.
Pixel shifting up to 400 megapixels.
God, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How?
They just shift the pixels. When you take the shot, it shifts the active pixels, and it takes multiple images, and then it interpolates them into a 400 megapixel image.
For what?
Whatever you want.
So you can zoom in and crop.
To zoom in on that sumo wrestler's dimples.
I guess so.
You don't need a 500 mil lens. You just need a 50 and just crop everything you need.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll just crop that guy right there, and he can be, that's his headshot, and we'll crop that over there.
Crop that guy in the background.
That would be pretty totally awesome.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So you feel the conspiracy is they're all in cahoots.
Not all of them, but like definitely between Canon and Nikon, I think so. I think they're just buddies, and I mean, although I feel like Nikon's way behind right now, but I think for cameras, they're in cahoots behind the scenes. Like, oh, well, you'll have this better camera this year, and
I think there's definitely some of that going on.
Yeah, especially I don't know if it's going to be the same because how much video is taking off right now.
Right.
But like, and Nikon's way behind on that market, but we'll see. They have good lenses.
So whatever. You have 2 minutes to tell us your conspiracy, Robert.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's not a conspiracy, but I can tell you how Nikon and Canon came about. So first of all, you know that Nikon made shutters for Canon.
Right. Didn't they make the first Canon camera?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then there was a big mess up between the presidents and Nikon guy said, I'll just make my own damn camera.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. So basically, when you had Nikon and Canon were the big Japanese companies, you also have Ricoh, Pentax.
Mm-hmm.
You had a couple of different Yashica, Minolta.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole difference changed with autofocus. Autofocus was developed by Olympus. They were the first ones that came out with it. Minolta, revolutionary. They made it standard. I think Olympus is the first one that came out with autofocus. So, which, you know, Nikon also had an autofocus lens back in 81.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just the lens, not the camera body. So when autofocus happened, this is how this whole thing happened. This is where our two roads of Nikon and Canon split.
Mm-hmm.
So when the autofocus market happened, if you remember, if you're a Canon guy, you remember the T-series that they came out. That was a quasi-autofocus that didn't do very well with the breech mount lenses. Because Canon had a breech mount to begin with.
Okay.
So you put the lens on and you just had a collar that would rotate.
Yeah,
the whole lens didn't go.
Yeah.
So Canon decided, okay, so let's reverse engineer this. I want the engineers to make us a autofocus lens, and whatever design you come up with, we'll make a body that'll fit it. So all of a sudden they said, oh, hey, we got to have a bigger mount for all these electronics. So they came out with the EOS system, electronic operating system.
Gotcha.
Okay. Nikon did not, it's a smaller company, it could not get rid of its legacy F mount.
Right.
So it had to make a screw mount mm-hmm. autofocus system on a little drive.
Mm-hmm.
Slow as molasses.
Very slow, but reliable.
Reliable, but yeah. Still slow. So you have the EOS system and your screw mount autofocus Nikon.
Mm-hmm.
So the Canon one lent itself to sports photographers, wildlife photographers, some journalists, because the autofocus was a lot better. Mm-hmm. All of those people that gravitated to Canon didn't use flash.
They're natural light photographers.
Natural light photographers.
That makes sense.
And because they did sports and need high ISO or high shutter speed,
mm-hmm.
Canon developed very fast glass to meet that.
Yeah.
Nikon.
That makes sense with their FDs.
Yeah, with their
1.2s and the 1.2s.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then Nikon never did. They never made that because they were more of like that artist type photojournalist style.
Yeah. That makes sense. And, I mean, they had a 55-1.2. I owned that for a little bit.
Yeah, they have a 55-1.0. They have a knock Nikon. Nocton. Yeah, that's like an old one, but they never really. So that's why I feel like Nikon is always behind on your autofocus.
Yeah.
They're always one step behind Canon.
They are.
But Canon was always behind on flash.
That's interesting.
So that's why if you see most of your Canon shooters,
mm-hmm.
natural light.
Yeah.
Your Nikon guys, they'll use flash.
When I was a Nikon guy, I used flash a lot, which was interesting. I don't know how I did that, but I just naturally did that. Yeah.
And you remember the creative lighting system they had built into all their flashes?
Oh, yeah.
Because they just, and then Canon didn't. Now then Canon beat Nikon's butt with the 600s. The
radios, yeah.
Yeah, when they did that, that just pretty much like wiped out Canon's or Nikon's system completely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel that they're all in a little bit of cahoots
mm-hmm.
because think about how small this island is and how much electronics they crank out.
Dude, oh, my God. I was looking at like a, I think it was like a exponential growth of, you know, of like how much money countries were making at a time whenever, mm-hmm. and Japan was ahead of everybody at one time, which is interesting. Post World War II, obviously, but it was mostly Sony. If you think about like,
mm-hmm.
all the TVs, they like came out with super high quality TVs.
Everything.
And VCRs and what else? Stereos and headphones and their CD players or even tape cassette. The mm-hmm. Walkman was
the Walkman. Yeah.
Epic. You know, like they sold millions of those things to us. We built their economy by what we bought from them.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. That's what we do as Americans. We go to war.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we actually have a bill to help rebuild the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done it with Germany and Japan. Mm-hmm. And now those are the two main countries we import from
because
mm-hmm. we have those contracts.
Well, now we do it with China, like the Dickens.
Yes, that's just because there's a lot of people over there.
There's so many people.
There's a lot of people. A lot of people. And then the Sony thing when it comes to cameras. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't like Sony. I think Sony's a great company.
Right.
But it's not a camera company.
Well, they're Sony an everything company.
They're an electronic company.
Yeah.
And the camera division is like 0.2% of their gross.
You know Avatar was shot on Sony's.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
They have this scene line that has like a weird camera lens. Like there's like a box, a flat box that the lens mounts on, and it can remove itself from the actual camera body. and there's like a big cable. And so that's how they were able to do the 3D in that. They would take those off and have like a compact system to where the lenses would be side by side, or like use the mirrors like they did in The Hobbit. Like right, The Hobbit right. used red cameras like the Dickens, and the red cameras were used with the mirror system. And I think the Sonys were just side by side. They can just do it side by side and have that 3D look.
Stereoscopic wow, that's look. Cool.
But I could be wrong about that. But I think it was like that. So, but I know they use those Sonys for that system.
You know, that's really interesting. So I do have a question. A good question, I feel. So, because you're more into filmmaking.
I'm more into all that. I mean, I know you like all
of
it,
but you definitely talk a lot of film stuff.
Yeah.
As a photographer, as a still photographer, there's like, oh my God, there's like conventions. Like you can kick over conventions every week of the year.
Yes.
But is there that many conventions for video that specific to videographers?
Well, I mean, CES is a big one.
Yeah, but CES is for everybody.
Yeah, it is for everybody. But that's a big one in my book. But I'm sure there's, I mean, I don't know. With
like specific to videographers.
I mean, so let's take PhotoCon.
Let's not talk filmmaking as in movies. Let's talk.
Well, like,
there's broadcast. You know, broadcast is the big part of filmmaking. Because that's where a lot of people end up working. And if they get into video, is broadcasting. And with the advent of the internet, now that's changed things dramatically, mm-hmm. you know. So you've got your podcasters or your YouTubers now and stuff like that. And that, you know, have their own little
systems. Yeah, but I just think it'd be awesome if Bedfords would, just because we know them, they're friends of the show, but if they would get involved in like a photo con, but it'd be video con.
Yeah.
With just like your, you know, like your main, if you look at the lineup that we have, the main people are still photographers.
Absolutely.
We may dabble in some film, but it's all still.
They would benefit from that because there is a growing film community here. And it's rapidly growing. And I'm
thinking more DSLR type filmmakers, you know, not the people with red cameras and all.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like YouTubers, you know, people at video podcasts or whatever, like that's their main thing.
Right.
Like they want to know good gear and they want to know good audio.
I mean, heck, you could even invite YouTubers, have them teach.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm talking about having something specific for like video, like that is the main drive. Like maybe there's some still photographers that show a videographer how to use it, but
PhotoCon's gonna blanket some of that too. It's not gonna be.
It is, but it really is more about the still. I mean, it really does cover both.
Yeah.
But I'm all the thinking.
All the speakers are still photographers. Except for
he's a gamut.
Yeah, but this is new. Matt and John Dorsey.
Yeah, John Dorsey's going to be there.
You know, this is fairly new because we've been doing this since they started. We've been, you know, attending and being part of PhotoCon, and I don't remember.
Yeah, if you don't know John, you really need to get into John.
Yeah,
look up John Walnut.
Walnut Trees Tree Films.
Tree Films.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, it's I think it's trickling in recent years, you know?
Right, but I'm just thinking, like, you know, we have PhotoCon, there's WPPI, there's Shutterfest,
imaging. It's all stills.
It's all stills. Like, you know, where does a video guy go to learn video?
Right.
That's the industry here in Oklahoma is realizing that. I mean, there's a new school that's coming in, like I said, that they're wanting to do a sound stage where, you know, people from Hollywood can come in and start productions. And then they've got like students from theirs to come work in those productions. That's kind of like what they're trying to do. And then you've got another entity that's just trying to put in a sound stage period. So we have more. So we can just do straight up productions and not worry about all that too. Mm-hmm. And then you've got, there's some people in Tulsa that are doing some really cool stuff. I used to work for this company called Fire Thief Productions, and they do all these mini documentaries about the Cherokee Nation and people mm-hmm. within that, and it's beautifully shot and they do a beautiful job, and I can't believe what they're doing. And and then I think they've got some film projects coming up, like Sterling Hall Joe has a new film project that he's doing, and so there's like a little nest of filmmakers over there that are doing some really cool stuff. And so definitely if Oklahoma can have some core like thing that everybody comes together and does together, and it's like, oh, what's everybody up to? You know, that'd be really cool to have, I think, in Oklahoma, because we don't really, I mean, we have little pockets of that, but not everybody's involved, you know, because I know, you know, a handful of the filmmakers here, but there's stuff in smaller cities too. And There's a guy named Josh Miller. He does his own productions and his like in his land and shoots all these horror films on that. And
it's cool.
Yeah. And so, but you know, we got a few filmmakers here in Oklahoma City that I know of, and like Lance McDaniel and Mickey Reese. And those are the two big ones that I know of here. And, they're doing stuff. And then, you know, Matt Payne.
Yes.
I didn't know. Yeah. He's heavily involved with filmmaking mm-hmm. too. And so he's trying to do some, soundstage stuff here. And I think he's working with some people on that. Maybe even turning his land into some. I could be wrong about that.
Sounds like somebody needs to start a, organization.
Oh, a film. Well, I mean, we have one, you know, the Oklahoma Film and Music. That's a big backbone of it.
Yeah, but it needs to be specific. Music
in there. I think it needs to be specific.
Specific
like
to video.
Videographers filming, of Oklahoma. It'd be called VOC.
Okay.
Right? Videographers of Oklahoma?
VOC. Sure, yeah.
VOC. Are you a member of VOC? Yes, I am.
All right, so let me just say this, okay? We need to wrap up.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The listeners are probably going, oh, can we get to some photo content here? Anyway, so Matt, it has been, like, obviously it's been great. We've had a great conversation, a lot of great tangents, and it's yeah. I love it. It's a great conversation. So let us know, let the listeners know where they can look you up.
Okay. Well, if you want to see a little bit of my work, there's, if you want to see some of my photo work, go to my Instagram. It's just at Matt Miller with one T. So MattMiller. You can see some weird stuff there. And if you want to see some of my video work, you can.
Some weird stuff is on there. Yeah.
I got a page on Facebook called 1984 Studios, which you can check out, like all my music videos that I've done, all my short films, or you can, there's some select content on my Vimeo, which is also 1984 Studios. So
very cool.
That'll be easy to remember, 1984.
Yeah, yeah. It is pretty easy to remember. So
that's good. Well, thank you so much. It was very enlightening. Can't wait for PhotoCon.
Yeah.
And listeners, if you're listening to our voice right now, you don't happen to hear us next week, there's a good chance that somehow we were abducted from Matt's house.
Yeah, since he is an alien.
Yes, by Roger the puppy.
Yes. Or Melissa the peanut gallery.
Melissa is not really set. She has grunted a couple times back there. Yeah. There's been some laughter in the peanut gallery.
Hey, all right.
Guys, so thanks
is
for
that
having
the longest
me.
She's ever sat in that chair?
Yeah, probably.
Like, she's just dying to be over here with us, but she's
I know.
All right, awesome.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. It's been fun. We'll definitely talk some more offline. So
cool. We will.
Thanks, everybody, for coming back for another week of the PhotoFax Podcast. We'll see you next time. Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Jim at jimfelder.com and Robert at treywickimages.com. Send us an email at twins@photofaxpodcast.com or voicemail at 405-585-6337.
Check out our YouTube PhotoFax channel for weekly tips and tricks. Visit our Facebook page for news and discussion. Please help others find this podcast by reviewing us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support.